Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us right now is Andy Rice. He's a speaker, he's a writer, he's a strategist, and we're going to be talking about what has COVID-19 changed about the way we spend our money. Good morning, Andy. How are you?
Good morning, Kathy. I think I'm all right. The girl is terrible, really.
Thank you, and I apologize that we're taking you a couple of minutes late. You heard what we were talking about, right? Andy, how has COVID changed the way you personally spend money?
Me personally, quite a lot. I mean, I think there can't be many people who've not been obliged or have chosen, so voluntarily or compulsorily. I think the vast majority of people have experienced some change in their shopping patterns and their living patterns, whether it's forced upon them or not. In my own case, I lead a fairly quiet life anyway. I have an electric car, so I'm not particularly phased by fuel supplies and availabilities. What I do less of, and I'm a strange guy, but I actually do very much like shopping, and I enjoy the experimentation anyway, regardless. But now that it's kind of forced upon me, it doesn't worry me at all if a particular item is out of stock, I'm obliged to go for the nearest equivalent. I will do so quite happily, unless I'm absolutely certain that I won't consider that, I won't experience value in that change. I suppose my main disappointment would be travel. I live down in the Cape and haven't really been able to do very much in the way of domestic travel, let alone international travel. So for me personally, that's the biggest expense that is no longer, as well as being the biggest disappointment in terms of experiences I'm looking for.
Andy, what are the trends that we're seeing amongst consumers? How have consumer patterns changed over COVID-19 or from COVID-19?
Well, I've kind of described it on occasion as like the world's greatest sampling campaign, because so long as an essential item is unavailable in the brand that you wanted to buy, they will be probably obliged to buy an alternative, which creates the effect of sampling new brands onto old palettes, if you like. I think that one forgets the importance of a word like distribution when it comes to brand marketing. We talk about differentiation and creativity and all kind of things, but the golden rule is, always will be, that if you can't actually get hold of the product or brand you're seeking, everything else is academic. So the importance of distribution, both from the manufacturer into the retailer and from the retailer into the customer's trolley, have changed quite significantly. Sometimes it's also just a question of stock availability. I was at a friend's place in the early days of the lockdown, and having just a cup of coffee, and he served fresh baked bread. And he's not a particularly domesticated character, but he's quite capable. And I was quite impressed. And said, gosh.
Well, we all had to learn to cook, because,
exactly.
You know,
because the motivation was simple. The sliced bread he normally buys wasn't available in the store.
And also people growing their own vegetables. I mean, you know, one thing I think that we did discover is that the cost of living is cheap. It's the cost of lifestyle that is expensive and that takes money. It's, you know, tomatoes are tomatoes, whether you grow them yourselves, whether you buy them at a supermarket, or whether you buy them at a you know, more upmarket place. It's very interesting. I mean, that was just one takeaway that I took away personally. Where do you think it's going? Do you think we're going to hold on to some of these trends? Do you think that we're going to let some of them go?
Well, then I suppose is the big unanswered question that every marketer is grappling with. I think that the likelihood is that the pattern that we had followed before lockdown suited us in so many ways that it takes quite a major disruption. COVID is not a major disruption.
Right.
But I think there will be a tendency for, statistically, not a scrap of evidence to support it, but I would guess that the majority of past habits will become current habits again, and some things will change permanently, but I think they'll be in minority. I think one of the interesting ones to watch is consumer to customer to consumer dispatch. So Checkers 60 and ASAP from Pick and Pay those kind of offerings. I personally find them flawed, and I use them out of almost grudgingly, because they do fulfill a role at the moment. But I think there's going to be a much bigger permanent distribution model based on direct to home from the retailer. And as, if you look in other markets, long before the lockdown happened, the UK, for example, has a very strong brand called Ocado, which is just these from manufacturers' warehouses into consumer homes. And there's a significant chunk, therefore, of the retail market, which has permanently shifted. How big a chunk is it in South Africa? I wouldn't like to say, but probably not as great as people think.
Yeah. And also, you know, you talk about these delivery or this, what are they called? The e-hailing services that will bring your groceries. One thing that I think it's obviously going to decrease, and this is just purely anecdotal, is impulse purchases. You know, when you're doing those shopping, your shopping, and you're going along the aisles and you see a new kind of jam and it looks delicious and you think, well, let me try that. You know, when you're ordering online, you don't really do that anymore. You're going in with your shopping list. Yeah.
I agree, Kathy. And that for me is one of the reasons why I do find shopping as fun as it is, because you do experiment.
Yeah.
And I think a retail brand that has a particular strength in new product development, usually under its own house brand, will suffer more than the average. I think Woolworths have over the years earned a reputation for putting some very innovative stuff on the shelf. And the old hand of temptation reaches out and grabs the new thing and gives it a go. I think there's very much more in my sample one experience, very much more of that kind of impulse purchase in a Woolworths with a high proportion of its own brand versus Pick and Pay or
would be so nice if, you know, when you got your order that they could possibly turn around a strategy, you know, to cater to that market and send everybody, I don't know, four little samples of something, four samples of different kinds of jams or biscuits or whatever, and it's for you to test, you know, and you're actually partnering there with your consumer. But hey, that's just me.
I mean, you could maybe do that as part of the ordering process. I don't think that model is yet perfect. I got quite hot under the collar only yesterday because I placed quite a substantial order for all sorts of household goods and basics using the Pick and Pay ASAP model. And I came to pay, and they said, they're not allowed to buy more than 30 items on one order. Now, that was clearly not evident anywhere in the system, certainly not strongly. There's no one trying to make that point clear.
Yeah.
And furthermore, they don't tell you, as far as I could see, how many you have actually ordered, therefore how many do I have to eliminate? So I think there are still bugs in the system. I don't think people say, oh, it's much better now that I'm getting my groceries
online
delivered to me, but it's certainly different.
Andy Rice, it is always a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you so much, and wish you a wonderful weekend and happy shopping. I look forward to seeing you in the aisles. That's Andy Rice. He's a speaker, a writer, and a strategist. What has COVID changed in terms of your consumer habits?